Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12, and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward Huzza, Susanna, and many others, who provided for them out of their resources. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, stressed the basic 2 ways people choose to live. They either serve God or they serve mammon. They either live by the idolatry that is greed and acquisitiveness, something that goes far beyond money, or they live with spiritual poverty, treasuring God more than anything else as their precious pearl. Even for those of us who live priestly simplicity of life or make a vow of poverty, it is still possible to serve mammon. And that's why today's readings are so key for us. In the Gospel, we see how Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many others were the spiritual mothers to this wandering band of 13, Jesus and the 12 apostles. They probably saw how inept they were. Many of them didn't even have a place to lay their head. And they used all their resources, far more than money, but also their feminine genius, to be able to care for their needs. What a tremendous way all the gifts that God had given them, they were using for Christ and his kingdom. They were truly serving God through serving Jesus and the apostles, and how much they were developed. This is in total contrast to those where Timothy was bishop on Crete, who were giving in to the idolatry that is greed, who were even having their religion corrupted as a means of gain. This was a huge problem in the early church, that you'd have these peripatetic preachers who were always taking up special collections for themselves. They were profiting on what they had learned or the gifts that God had given them in order to be able to teach and inspire, in order to make a real living for themselves. So in the Didache, for example, the early Christians were warned about these types of charlatans. And that's never really gone away. You still have preachers today who, Catholic or non-Catholic, try to build greater houses for themselves than they do for God, who care so much more about what they're eating than what God is using them to feed others. We have to beware of this perennial temptation of the devil to flip the things of religion around. That type of acquisitiveness leads to conceit, to pride, to the morbid disposition to win arguments, verbal disputes. It leads to envy, rivalry, insults, evil suspicions, friction among people. Why? Because St. Paul goes on to say that the love of money, the love of mammon, is the root of all evil. Either we receive from God what he gives with gratitude, or we're constantly trying to take, we're constantly trying to grasp. Some people in their desire for things have strayed from the faith and have given themselves many self-inflicted wounds. What's the contrast? St. Paul describes the women in today's gospel as those who have received the great gain of religion with contentment. We could frame this in a different way, religion with gratitude. That rather than thinking about what they don't have and hungering after it, they think about the blessings God has already given them, what they do have, and thank Him for it. That's the means to happiness in the middle of the world. And it leads to pursuing righteousness, devotion, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. What's it going to be? Sometimes when we have less than others by choice, our hunger for the things of the world can actually grow. It doesn't have to be for mansions. It doesn't have to be for supercomputers. It can be just for tiny little things. We can begin to obsess about them in such a way that we really do take our eyes off the immensity of God's greatness in daily life. So that's why today's readings are key. And we have a feast that shows us how key they are. St. Andrew Kim Taegon and his companions, the Korean martyrs, from six waves of ferocious anti-Christian persecution from the late 1790s through the mid-1800s, they were ones who really treasured the things of God and had a religion with contentment and gratitude. The story of the Korean martyrs is one of the most inspiring in church history. Some intelligent Koreans had crossed the border into China, where they happened to find some of the Bibles and breviaries and some spiritual books of martyred Jesuits. They understood Chinese, and so they started to read it, and they recognized it was the truth. They took those religious goods with them back home. They started to share it with others because they recognized how great a gift this was, how valuable it was. And they learned to shift from the things of the world to the things of God. And they started to pass this gift on. When the missionaries eventually arrived in the late 1700s, they were shocked that even though Korea had never had priests, there were already 4,000 Christians who had become Christians by these lay people, who reading in the priest's manuals, recognizing the sacrament of baptism, started to baptize extraordinarily in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They took the Word of God seriously. They took the catechism seriously, and they began to hunger one day that they would have these black robes come and absolve them of their sins afterward and be able to give them Jesus and the Holy Eucharist. They were shocked when the missionaries saw just how deep the faith of the Koreans was, how the Holy Spirit had led them to that stage. And their faith in God was so deep that they were ready to be martyred from soon after the arrival of the priests because of Korean xenophobia. They didn't want any outside influence. So in 1791, 97, twice in the 1830s, twice in the 1840s, there were ferocious anti-Christian persecutions, and so many of them died. Pope Benedict, when he was writing his beautiful encyclical on Christian hope, cited some of the Korean martyrs. In his whole description of the letter to the Hebrews, where it says they were willing to be deprived of everything because they had a greater possession. The Koreans were able to allow everything to be taken away from them because they were not going to lose that treasure buried in a field that they had found. So they were able to be pillaged of everything else because they had what they really sought, and that wouldn't be robbed from them. And the letter in the breviary today, the valedictory address of St. Andrew Kim Taegon, you see that real spiritual poverty, treasuring the Lord, and how even though so much had been taken away and even his physical life would be robbed, He was still showing us what religion with contentment means. And he knew that God was with him even in that moment. St. Andrew Kim Taegon has such an incredible story. He was the first Korean priest. When he grasped what needed to happen in order for him to be ordained, he journeyed 1,000 miles to Macau in order to enter the seminary. And then he came back, and 7 years later, his father was slaughtered for the faith in 1839 when he had entered the seminary. And when he came back and served as a priest, he was martyred in the next persecution in 1846. St. Andrew Kim Taegon shows us where the real treasure is. Today, we give God thanks for the way that he always blesses us and fills us with treasure. We thank him for all those who, like Joanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene, have cared for us and nourished our faith along the way through their own provision, through their own spiritual maternity. We ask the Lord to give us the grace to be so grateful for what he gives, that even if everything is taken away, we might recognize we are still the richest people on the planet. As the Lord gives us now that pearl of great price, so that we're able to keep that treasure in the treasure chest of our heart.